This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I just got great news, Danny. Justin Dodge, who's a listener to the show, he was the winner of the Terry McLaurin jerseys that we gave out in that segment that should have never happened.
The ill-fated contest of heartbreak and disdain.
Right. But he just sent me a picture that he has received his two Terry McLaurin jerseys for his young boys. It took a little while.
Yeah.
I'll take some of the blame, but not all the blame.
No, but it's you're not doing the shipping problems. There's an article about it every day about, like, you can't get stuff on time now.
So he said, can't wait to give them to the boys. Thanks again. So the jerseys have been delivered. Don't think that it was just for the radio. We paid that off. And Justin, hopefully, I want to see a picture with the fellas rocking their gear.
Speaking of things getting delivered, I thought as soon as I heard things delivered, I assumed your pizzas, an update was coming there.
I actually do have an update on the pizzas.
Will you give it to us in a little bit? Not right now. We have to do the blitz.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I'll do. End of the segment, I'll tell you.
Okay.
It's actually funny. There is something related to the pizzas that happened.
Nice.
I'm not even doing a bit. So we'll do that at the end of the segment, coming up on Grant and Danny. Right now, it is time for your Beltway Blitz. We're going to start on the gridiron, where the football team is getting ready to go to Lambeau Field, the frozen tundra. Matt Paris, the Bulldog.
Bulldog.
On Grant and
Bulldog.
Danny. Matt, just so you know, we listen to the press conference here live on the show occasionally, or we'll pull up Ron Rivera on Zoom or whatever, and we're waiting on you, man. We count on you as the Bulldog. You always ask the question we want asked, and we call you the Bulldog now.
I appreciate that, Jay. That's all JP. That's his nickname for me, and I guess.
Oh, JP calls you that too?
I thought we made it up.
This is infuriating.
Oh, man.
That's a long-running JP bit. Sorry to tell you.
Oh, I'm crestfallen.
That hurts.
Now we got to change his damn name.
That hurts. The Rottweiler. The Rottweiler.
You're the change it on the call screener right now.
Change it.
The Rottweiler. Matthew Paris is with us. But don't disappoint us. We need someone to keep bringing the goods during
these press conferences.
And you swing that axe. So why don't we start with Landon Collins? He doesn't like being a linebacker, huh?
But he's totally a linebacker.
You're right. I mean, it is weird that Ron Rivera yesterday never really used the word linebacker. Jack Del Rio wouldn't go anywhere near it today, but Collins acknowledged it, that he is a linebacker. He's playing closer to the line of scrimmage. That's where they view him best. And, I think it's kind of out of necessity, not only because of John Bostic's injury, but also because he hasn't really been effective at safety, and teams seem to be targeting him whenever out there in pass coverage. So, yeah, I mean, he said he wasn't happy about it, or, you know, he doesn't like playing the position, but we'll do it because he said he's a team player, and so that's what he's going to be about.
Matt, last year, this is a very general question, so please, you know, answer it accordingly. Last year, I just felt generally like...
Make sure you say Rottweiler as you please.
Excuse me, Rottweiler. I thought last year guys responded to Ron Rivera. I thought they played hard. Even games they weren't any good, or they got the doors blown off, like against Baltimore or the Rams or Arizona or Cleveland, they were still responding to the message. I don't know that they're responding in the same way right now. And who won that drag race?
I have no idea. I just outside of Ashburn, and that is apparently going on right now. But think Antonio Gibson is waiting for a lift. So there you go, breaking news. Anyway, continue.
I was going to ask, do you feel like the message is still getting through, or is it ringing hollow now?
I think it's still getting going through. It's just it's harder to keep that message consistently when you've been there a little bit. And then also, you know, these games haven't been necessarily close. Like, the game really got away from them on Sunday against the Chiefs. You know, 21 and the answer, the offense was struggling. When nothing really starts to work, then I think it's harder for the message to be retained. But I don't think guys have quit on Ron Rivera or anything like that. I mean, I think they still believe in the message that he's selling. I just think that you know, heavy hitting message and that sort of thing, it's harder to buy into when these games aren't as competitive as they used to be.
I'm kind of curious. You mentioned Gibson a second ago. A lot of these guys that are having the week-long treatment and missing some practice time seem to be having issues when they play. Like, they get the bill of health, they play Curtis Samuel for 5 snaps, and then he has to come out. De'Ami Brown on the first play of the game last week came off the field, did come back in. Gibson with the shin, you know, missed time, didn't practice yesterday, limited today. Is that normal football stuff, or what do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, the guys are still hurt at the end of the day. I mean, Antonio Gibson is playing through a stress fracture in his shin, so it's not necessarily surprising to see him be hurt after he takes punishment to that leg. You know, it's understandable why his practice reps are being managed the way they are. And
I guess my question is, like, could some of these guys maybe benefit from being shut down for a week or something? Like, when guys keep getting hurt, it's just, I don't know. That and not having a head trainer or an assistant head trainer, like, lead me to ask questions, I guess.
Right. No, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, we're kind of seeing that right now with Curtis Samuel. I mean, he has a practice again this week. He was shut down last week. He was shut down for 3 weeks to start the season. So they're going to try and keep resting him until he's ready to go. But, you know, this groin injury, however severe it is, he hasn't been able to be fully healthy, and he hasn't been able to play a full workload. So, yes, to answer your question, I think.
Matt, thank you, buddy. Appreciate the time as always.
Thank you.
We'll see you,
my friend. Do you prefer Bulldog or Rottweiler? Like, if you had to get a dog, which one would you get?
I think I'm partial to Bulldog, but, you know, who knows? Whatever you guys want to call me is fine.
As long as you call me. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Have a great week. Let's talk some hoops, please. NBC Sports Washington analyst, longtime NBA player, Tony Massenburg joins us. Tony, it looks to me like they won't start like 3-8 or 3-9 and then have to climb out of a hole. I loved what I saw last night. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, they looked really good last night. I think the one thing you have to take from this game that was really positive, when you look back at the preseason, you know, defensively, the Wizards ranked at the very bottom of the league, literally 30th in defensive efficiency and 29th in opposition points, giving up opposition points. And so you look at that game last night, you saw a spirited defensive effort combined with some great ball movement on the offensive end that enabled the guys to get some shots. You look at Bradley Beal scoring 22 points, and the Wizards still pull out a win. Obviously, Montrezl Harrell, to me, was a guy that really stood out. 21 points from him and 9 rebounds. And you look at the presence he was on the inside, finishing over the top, rebounding, and just bringing overall physicality. And so you like the depth that I saw last night with the substitution pattern. And I think what Coach Wes Unseld is going to have some decisions to make as far as trying to figure out what type of lineup he wants to put out there on a nightly basis, because he's got some versatility.
I feel like I have a good beat after watching the one game last night on what they want Kyle Kuzma to give them and the role for Harrell. I don't really feel that way about Caldwell Pope. Like, what do you think his game is? How does he fit into all this? And what's it going to look like as this year goes on?
Well, he potentially has the ability to be their best two-way guy. He's a really good wing defender and a guy that can guard multiple positions from the point to the small forward. And so you're looking at him as a guy that can also be good in transition. Offensively, he doesn't look like he's clicking right now, but we know that he can score the basketball just based off of things he's done over the course of his career. You look at Kuzma. Kuzma really has the opportunity here to be that quote-unquote small forward that they've been looking for several years. And it's just a matter of time before he gets a better feel for his teammates, and he was the first guy to admit that. It's going to take some time to really get this group to gel and figure out exactly what their identity is going to be and what they can hang their hat on a nightly basis as far as their style of play. So Kuzma understands that, and I think he also understands this is a real opportunity for him. He could essentially be that second or third guy to give them, you know, roughly 16, 17 points a night behind Bradley Beal or Spencer Dinwiddie.
Tony, a lot of positives last night. We're kind of touching on those. The negative, though, if I may, Davis Bertans still just – and it's one game, but he was sort of drifting around, didn't make his shots. And if he's not doing that, then kind of what is he doing here? And I still don't think they've got a great backup point guard situation. I like Neto for being a pest on defense, but 6 turnovers, 2 assists combined for the backup ball handlers there between Neto and Holiday. Just give me your thoughts on I guess that on Bertans in that position.
Well, Bertans is clearly, and you said it right there. I mean, if he's not making 3-pointers at the rate we saw him make them his first year here, then you have to ask yourself, what else does he bring to the game? And obviously, defensively, he can sometimes be a liability. And clearly, his game is predominantly catch and shoot. And so if he's not doing that, then now you have to look at that position and figure out, well, how do you get him to be more productive? That may take some more time to figure out. It's a little bit of a carryover from what we saw from last year, but at the end of the day, you have to figure out where Davis fits, if he fits at all. So I think that's what the Wizards are trying to work on in the process of assembling all this other talent and figuring out what will be the identity of this team. And maybe Davis is a part of that, and maybe he isn't, depending on how things work out with the other guys. So I think that situation will work itself out. You look at Holiday, I think it's going to be an adjustment period for him. New team, just getting here and sort of, you know, first game, you know, so let's give him at least, you know, 20 to 30 games, I think, because you're talking about a combination of veterans that are playing together for the first time combined with some guys that are, you know, second, third, fourth year guys that are still trying to find themselves. And let's not forget, Rui Hachimura is not in the mix yet, and he'll be a real nice addition once they're able to get him back.
And that rotation will be 10 deep probably at that point. Hey, Tony, thank you. We appreciate you.
Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure.
See you, buddy.
Yeah, enjoy it. We'll be watching you pre and post with Wes Hall, NBC Sports Washington. Now let's talk some puck ahead of the Caps and the Devils tonight. Samantha Pell covers the Caps for the Washington Post. And Samantha, the Devils, a surprising 2-0. You'd have to think they'll be hungry after the Caps took all 8 of the games the two teams played last season, but they're dealing with a big injury. Set the table for tonight for us.
Yeah, no Jack Hughes tonight. He has a dislocated shoulder, and that's, you know, obviously a big blow for that Devils team. And, you know, in goal, it looks like Scott Wedgwood will be starting for the Devils because of injuries there. So, yeah, the Caps are coming in to a Jersey team that's missing a couple big guys and are just looking to capitalize.
Sam, Evgeny Kuznetsov has been really good through 3 games. I was dead. Now, this is it's a 3-game sample here, but I basically wanted him gone. I was done watching whatever that was, and I got the sense they tried to trade him in the offseason. But if you get this Kuznetsov, Caps run Kuznetsov, the ceiling for this team dramatically changes. Early returns are very good. Just kind of take the temperature there on Kuzi.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Kuznetsov's been an X factor for this team the last few years, and that doesn't change this season. I think for him, you know, 6 points through 3 games, obviously 2-goal night the other night against Colorado, and it was just flashes of, you're right, old Kuznetsov. He was fast. His passes were good. It seemed like he was having fun out there on the ice, which is so cliche to say, but for a guy like Kuznetsov who plays off so much emotion, it was big for him.
Vanecek back in net tonight for the Caps, and what's the state of the union on the goaltending situation?
Yeah, you know, we haven't had an update from Peter Laviolette today. No morning skate, but all signs point to Vanecek back in net tonight. And, yeah, I think Vanecek's been great. You know, the first 2 games that he had, they put Samsonov in the third against Colorado, and it's going to kind of go back and forth until one emerges, and that just might be Vanecek.
What's the latest on Michael Kempney? I saw a story recently that he's slowly working his way back. Just kind of give me your thoughts there. When can we expect him?
Yeah, he's down in Hershey, I think. You know, the team just wants to see how he progresses in the AHL. You know, Peter Laviolette really, really likes the 6 that he has right now. They claim Dennis Cholowski off of waivers, and it just seems like he might not even get into the mix anytime soon just because this solid group of 6 is working really well. Martin Saravari is on the top pair with John Carlson. He's been excellent. So as of right now, it seems like the 6 isn't going to change, and maybe after some injuries we could see, you know, a guy like Kempney come into the mix. But for right now, everything looks pretty solid there.
Sam, we appreciate it. As always, enjoy the game tonight. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sam.
There's Samantha Pell. Read her work in the Washington Post. That is your Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny. So, at the beginning of the segment, you asked about my pizzas.
Yeah.
And I told you there's a little bit of an update on that front, something that's related to it at least.
Mm-hmm.
So, I do have to tell everyone I haven't gotten my pizzas yet. Okay? Unfortunately,
oh.
They haven't come. But there's some shipping issues, as you guys know, if you've ordered anything lately. Things can take a couple weeks, a couple months, a couple years, like whatever.
All you have to do is right? Say global supply chain and put your palms up and everybody gets it.
So no pizzas yet.
Uh-huh.
Pizzas are coming. I'm still confident. I feel good about that. But for the first time since Pizzagate, I had someone come to my door for a school fundraiser. And I gave him money.
No!
Yeah. Oh. So, but here's the backstory, okay?
No.
There is a backstory. My wife couldn't believe it when she got home. She's like, what? All right, so this girl came.
Uh-huh.
She wants to be an engineer, a mechanical engineer.
Okay.
And she's going to something at Virginia Tech, apparently.
Okay.
She was wearing, like, she had a whole, like, badge that she was wearing around her neck that if she made it would have been super impressive.
Okay.
And she had, like, a sheet of paper that she handed me for me to look at. From, like, the school, I don't remember what school or what the deal was, but, like, the organization. It was, like, the Virginia...
Young Engineers Entrepreneurial Foundation of Foundations.
Kind of like that.
Yeah,
foundation. So she had this sheet of paper, like, laminated, and she was wearing a placard.
She had a badge on.
Like, almost like a badge.
Yeah.
And I felt good about that. And then I said, as a trick, I said, so do you only take cash? Like that. Because I knew if she only took cash... That would have really put my antenna up.
That's your sign of scam.
And now I know these people are trying to steal me.
Like if she said what the pizza kid said, hey, just leave your cash in the mailbox.
Yeah. She didn't say that though. So now I know if someone says leave your cash in the mailbox. Abort. Abort. You're being scammed. You're being scammed. So she said, and I quote, well, whatever you'd prefer. We could take cash.
Nice.
Check.
Yep.
And I'll give you a receipt for tax purposes.
Wow.
For a 105C3 PO 90216.
Yeah, for an R2-D2 filing. Yeah,
right.
It's good.
And with all that, I said, who do I write the check to? Who do I write the check to? And I stroked that check and handed it on over. I said, you have a good time in Blacksburg, young lady. That was my...
So she's going to Blacksburg.
She's going to... Well...
Courtesy of Uncle Paulson.
I not solely based on me, but if... If six or seven people do what I did, she's going to have a good time in Blacksburg.
Will that cover the car rental? Because car rentals are more expensive now than we think.
It's true. I'm hoping she gets a ride from, like, you know, some school bus or van or something.
Well, how about that?
So anyway,
you're a trusting lad, man. Good for you.
If you thought this was going to ruin me forever, I got back up on that horse after I was kicked in the teeth. That's what Jimmy McGinty once said, the head coach of the Sentinels in the Replacements. It's about getting back up on that horse after you've been kicked in the teeth. That's what he told Shane Falco, played by Keanu Reeves. So I got kicked, but I got up again. You're never going to let keep me down. I get knocked down.
Trust it would take for me to get back on that horse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I'd love again. I don't know that I'd be able to trust again.
Lots of verification, identification. The thing that really sold it was the receipt. That was the thing that really put it over the top for me.
That makes it sound legit.
I mean, if I got, then congratulations to her.
Then you conned me really well.
Then nothing matters.
Like, just because of your story, if somebody rapped on my door and it seemed even legitimate, they might just go, you know what, dude, it's not worth it. Because I'd be like, I need to take a picture of your driver's
right,
license.
Exactly.
I need to call your supervisor. Yeah. I need a pizza. I need a picture of a pizza that you already delivered to someone else.
Still no pizzas, though.
No pizzas, no. But you gave a kid a scholarship to engineering school for the Engineering Foundation of Foundations.
Let's not give me that much credit.
No, you did. Daddy Warbucks.
A very, very small piece of scholarship.
The Grant Paulson Scholarship for Engineers.
Tiny, tiny, tiny little piece. I mean, look, we need people to do things and create things. I want to be able to watch Capitals games on television. I need this girl to go to school and figure out how to do that.
She can fix the problem.
Please, while you're at it, find out how to get me a quarterback as well, if you wouldn't mind. Grant and Danny on the Fan. All right, next, I kind of want to do a Ryan Explains It All today. I'm trying to figure out when would be a good time for that. But But I want to talk about this Landon Collins situation, too. I find myself between a rock and a hard place. Why don't we do a little Landon Collins next? Because he's saying he's a linebacker, but he doesn't want to be, and he doesn't think it's long-term, but Ron Rivera seems to think that he's now a linebacker moving forward.
Yeah, it's a position switch, guy. So I know what they look like.
This is just kind of funny. But when do you want to do a Ryan Explains It All, Clarissa style?
5 o'clock hour. What about 5:45?
Fine. Done. If you're new to the show or you missed the only time we've ever done this and you're a long timer to the show, basically, we give Ryan a very normal, real-world activity that a lot of people do, and he has to explain how it works, and so far, it's just been incredible. So we're hoping we keep batting 1,000 on this. Last time he explained a 401k.
Yeah, early confidence gives way to doubt very quickly when he gives his answers. It's the best.
One of my buddies texted me and said he's so earnest in his confidence.
Yes.
I said that's a great word for it.
That's what it is.
So we can do that at 5:40 today on Grant and Danny. Let's talk Landon Collins' position change next on The Fan. Still to come today, your QB approval rating of Taylor Heinicke.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
I'm a team player. They came to me to talk to me about, you know, hurting in a certain position. When our linebacker went down, so I said, yeah, I could help out in that position if you need me to. Just come talk to me. Have an open mindset to it, and go from there. But I like playing down there. I'm good at it. Of course, I'm good at it. I play there. If I need to be played there, I'm cool. Other than that, do I like playing linebacker? No. I don't like hitting big linemen, getting big linemen off me. I'm undersized for being a linebacker. So, yeah, I don't want to play down there, but if need to, I do so.
Landon Collins with the media today. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. Collins has been used as a linebacker the last couple of weeks. This is now getting a lot of attention because Ron Rivera, without saying linebackers, basically said this is what they're going to be doing moving forward. Highest paid players on the team this year. Cap number, you ready?
Let's go.
Brandon Scherff, $18 million.
Hurt, not available.
Landon Collins, $16.9 million.
Terrible change position.
He's getting paid about $17 million against the cap. So if they want him to play linebacker, he'll just play linebacker.
If they want him to call the plays, you should do that. I mean,
the cash is coming. The check is going to clear at the bank. By the way, real quick, I want to point out Thursday Night Football tonight, the Broncos are 3-3, the Browns are 3-3. We've got NFL Network on in the studio, and the NFL Network pre-game show, whatever this is, it's Joe Thomas back in his old stomping grounds with the Browns.
How good does he look now, by the way?
Oh, he's dropped all the weight, and just he's good-looking dude. Doesn't look like an offensive lineman anymore. They're doing it from the tunnel, their show, because it's raining so much right now, and the weather is so gross in Cleveland, where you don't have Baker Mayfield tonight, where they don't have running backs, where the Broncos offense has been a mess. This is the lowest total of the week as far as the lines go.
And it may be too high.
40.5 points, and it's been going down, 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 down. I have a hard time imagining someone getting to 40, unless somehow the Broncos hang like 24, 27, because I think Bridgewater is playing even though he's banged up.
I think so, yeah.
So let's say they win, you know, a 27-14 game. Well, there's 41 points right there. But if the weather's going to stay gross, they got a tarp on the field right now. I haven't looked at the weather. I'm not going to waste any time looking at the weather in Cleveland tonight. But if it's going to be bad weather and these two teams are playing, how is 40 points going to happen?
Case Keenum, neither of the two good running backs for Cleveland. They're a mess at the moment. They got to tread water.
Old friend Case Keenum.
Our buddy Case Keenum.
So here's what Landon Collins said today. I've got the questions and the answers, a little transcript for you here.
Go for it.
This is via Nikki Javala of The Post. On how this role differs from other times he's been down in the box. Quote, "This role is different because I'm playing linebacker. It's different from when I'm rolling down as a safety. Things are adjusted different. At this position, I have to read from the center to the tackle, whereas from the safety position, I'm reading from the tight end to maybe the guard, if anything. From that standpoint, that's the biggest difference," end quote. By the way, X's and O's, like football-wise, that's a really good answer.
Yeah.
He tells you, if I'm a linebacker, what I'm looking at is a safety, here's what I'm looking at. On if this is a temporary move because of injuries or a permanent switch, and I think this is your money shot here. This is your million-dollar answer. Ready? So, Landon, is this just something for a couple of weeks because John Bostic got hurt or what? Quote, "That's what I'm trying to figure out also."
Okay.
"I ask these questions. I don't have a solidified answer, but as we practice, I'm not taking any reps in the back end. So from that standpoint, I just kind of figure out that's what they're trying to do right now." End quote. So he's saying, all of my reps are doing this. This is what I am right now. Next question. Does he still view himself as a safety? Quote, "I am a safety. Yes," end quote.
Remember when the Joker was talking to Harvey Dent in the hospital? "Do I sound like a guy with a plan? Does that sound like a plan to you? Does that sound like a guy that just this week was kicked out of a safety meeting?"
I'll give you one more quote, and this is part of what you just heard, I think. On playing more linebacker, quote, "I am a team player. They came to me, talked to me about how we're hurting at a certain position. One of our linebackers went down, so I said, yeah, I can help out at that position if you need me to. Just come talk to me. I'll have an open mindset to it and go from there." By the way, that is telling. You know, when they say, hey, someone walks up to him maybe in passing, like, hey, we're thinking about having you do some linebacker, and he's like, they're talking to you and you're telling them, come talk to me and I'll have an open mind. Like, he wants more of a conversation. You see what I mean? He wants, like, a sit down in somebody's office. I don't know if it's JDR, Rivera, whatever. Goes on to say, but do I like playing down there? I'm a good fit at it, of course. If I'm good at it, I'll play there if I need to be playing there. Other than that, do I like playing linebacker? No. I don't like getting hit by big linemen and getting big linemen off me. I'm undersized for being a linebacker. So yeah, I don't want to play down there. But if I need to, I'll do it. I'm good at it.
So, yay! All right! Everything's going perfect! Right? We're good! Everything good?
You know what I can't get past? I'm going to say the thing I said to start this segment.
Yep.
$17 million against the cap.
Uh-huh.
For him as a safety.
Yeah.
Remember the last guy that was like the highest paid DB that they had in the league, Josh Norman?
Norman.
He ended here on the bench, and they were playing, and I'm not exaggerating, street free agent corners we'd never heard of while Norman was sitting on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Before eventually at the end of the offseason, they ridded themselves of him. They have swung and missed multiple times in massive fashion. And both times I was kind of happy that they went and got the guy.
Yeah.
I was happy with Norman. I don't know if they used him the same way they did in Carolina to the extent that they should have. But you got an impact defensive player who used to be an all-pro in New York and Landon Collins.
Maybe you can find it. Different scheme, different system. Let's see.
In the division.
Hard pass.
And now he is moving to a position he doesn't want to play.
Yeah, that's why, again, I've said it twice this week. I'm saying it a third time. I can be in favor or opposed to a signing. I'm not allowed to be excited the next time they grab someone in the secondary. They just don't get this thing right. So to Collins specifically, again, that doesn't sound very encouraging. Some people might go, yes, finally he's a linebacker, and they just kind of go about their day. You're more than welcome to do that. That sounds to me like a troubling thing. And Collins handled it with as much grace as you can, but this is the same guy that when he was responding to these sorts of questions in the offseason, we're like, LOL, no, ha ha, ain't happening, my guy.
Yes, Instagram. I don't care about that.
Well, but it's in, you know, in stories, I think. I think there was a comment somewhere, maybe. Maybe I've got that incorrect, but I could have sworn there was. Sort of someone asked him a question based on that, and he was like, no, that's not happening. It's ridiculous. The failure is so stark and dramatic that he's asked to do something that he doesn't normally want to do or shouldn't be doing if he's truly a safety. The other part of this thing is again, the linebacker core is so bad that this is what the answer is to go get a failed safety. That's not okay either. You have a first-round draft pick there. You were supposed to accumulate depth over the course of the offseason. Yes, John Bostic is hurt, but it's not like they've had a rash of four or five linebacker injuries and they're calling up street guys. You know, it's not like they, you know, when they had to go to, I'm blanking on the guy's name, Zach Vigil and a bunch of other dudes that just were practice squad Peters or guys off the street. Their solution at linebacker right now is failed safety Landon Collins. I mean, just again, the roster construction, the state of the union, the build, it all goes back to this. Either this was the plan and the plan stunk, or they dramatically miscalculated.
Should we give them a little bit of a pass on this one because they had Bostic? Now, Bostic wasn't playing very well, but at least he was a guy that was an all-down linebacker before he got hurt. They wouldn't have moved Collins, probably, if Bostic didn't get hurt.
No. And here's my point. If middle linebacker getting hurt is not the craziest thing that's ever happened in world history.
True.
Your depth chart should be able to absorb that. Listen, if you have a star, if you miss Roquan Smith or you're missing, I know I always pull Luke Kuechly from his Carolina days, you lose Luke Kuechly, the backup's not going to be anywhere as good. You need proper construction where what should happen is if backup middle linebacker is injured, second string middle linebacker comes in and it's David Mayo, it's Kalik Hudson, it's, I don't know, your first round draft pick who initially was calling all the defensive signals in preseason. And then now is a guy that barely plays half the game, even though he played his best game this past week. He played 13 snaps 2 weeks ago. What should happen is another linebacker plays linebacker, and we never think about it again, especially when your starter is John Bostic, who isn't particularly good either. It's emblematic to me of where they are. I know this is the cynical way of looking at it, but I can't help but think of failed safety Landon Collins' attempted solution at linebacker. That reeks to me, where you just go...
So that's an interesting point.
You just didn't construct right.
You know what? That's what I want to actually pose on the phones. Gambit DC listener lines, let's open them up. Bet, play, win with Gambit DC, brought to you by the DC Lottery. And the number's 800-636-1067. This will be sold as, we're thin at linebacker and he's really good at it. What Rivera said this week is, we're putting him in a position where he can thrive, we're doing what's best for him. You're saying... this guy can't play safety, so they have to find another place for him. Those are two very different things. Feel me? Mm-hmm. You're saying failed safety, meaning liability, this isn't working, we can't play him there. I think both are a little bit true.
I do.
In the sense that I think like he's played so poorly at safety that you're not going to miss him. But I also, and I do believe this, I think that the job of a staff is to play guys in positions where they can most help you. Maximize potential. That's what coaching is.
Yep.
You're handed players, maximize their potential. But maybe that's the best question is this more because Landon Collins can't play safety or because they have a linebacking problem that he can help fix? 800-636-1067. And I want to get into the fact that I actually kind of like this. I like that Ron Rivera's doing it for a couple reasons. He's trying something, number one, which I've been imploring that they do. And number two, I'll never be upset when a coach looks at a guy's strengths and says, let's play to those. And I think they're doing that. Even if it is based on the fact that he can't do the other thing or is struggling to do the other thing. And Curl should be playing more.
Yep.
And Everett or Jeremy Reeves, God forbid, on the practice squad, like give those guys those opportunities. They were on the field when you were playing well as a defense last year. But a part of this has to be, and I'm sure people are rolling their eyes at how often I keep mentioning this, but we can't talk about this without talking about the fact that this guy makes $17 million against your cap.
Yes.
There are only three players on this team who make more than $7.5 million against the cap. Like, one of the things we always say is they really don't have bad contracts because they don't give out a lot of big money right now, which is awesome. That's where their flexibility comes from. That's why they have assets. Their two highest paid players are Scherff, who is hurt again, who they're renting for 1 year, who they could have allowed to walk. By the way, has there been a big drop-off necessarily to Schweitzer?
Not to my untrained eye.
Well, but that's kind of my point.
Yeah.
It's guard. It's not a position you notice necessarily unless someone is getting blown up, which for a year and a half, Schweitzer hasn't been. And then Collins. The only other guy who makes double-digit million a year right now this year is Kendall Fuller. Now, AAV over contract, that changes with William Jackson, Curtis Samuel. But those guys this season are making, in the case of Curtis Samuel, he's 3.7 against the cap. William Jackson is 4.6 against the cap. Their top five highest paid players are Scherf, Collins, Fuller, Chase Young, and now John Allen. And his number will go very, very high in the next couple of years. Right now, it's only about $7 million against the cap. But your second highest paid players move in positions. How did we get here? And while this isn't this regime's fault, they inherited Landon Collins. Right. This was your yacht pick. Dan and Bruce took him out to dinner and gave him the 21 jersey. It's the second time in a row that a massive acquisition in the secondary has blown up in your face. And the only one they've made so far, Jackson, is not on a great trajectory to start. 800-636-1067 to talk Collins with us on The Fan.
You watch the way he played last week. You watch the things that he did, his physicality, the plays he helped make in the game. And as I said the other day, he has a good role. And the role we used him in is, I think, something we feel very strongly about his abilities. You know, he's a downhill attacking style of player, and we got to make sure we're putting him in position to have success for us. A great example was when they ran that reverse. He was down in the box. He saw it coming. He got outside the contain, turned it back inside, and was part of the pileup that helped create the takeaway. And those are the things that, you know, he flashes and shows that he's capable of doing. That's why, you know, going into last week's game, based on the matchups, we felt strongly about playing him up in the box.
Ron Rivera on Landon Collins. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. 106.7 The Fan. I think what they're doing is the right play, and I'm happy they're doing it. And I'm never going to get upset when you move a guy into a position that's going to better help him. If I've got a criticism, it's what took so long, I guess. But they've been doing it for a couple weeks. This finally just became a story now because the questions are coming, the answers are coming, everybody's talking about it. If you look at usage, and on PFF, they tell you where guys line up and are they in the box, are they at linebacker, are they at safety, what have you. I mean, it's a couple of weeks of primarily him playing down in the box. Landon Collins doesn't seem particularly happy about it. We're getting your guys' thoughts on this. 800-636-1067. I think this has... I'm trying to divvy up a pie. Is it more to do with Collins' problems, more to do with the thin position at safety? I would say this has more to do with Collins than it does the linebacking spot. Because, Danny, you drafted a linebacker in the first round.
Exactly. But
until this week, didn't play that much at linebacker. So if you were that desperate at linebacker for a guy that could just play in the box and blow things up, how about the speedster you just drafted out of Kentucky at 19?
Or any of you two dozen free agents that are just tackling machines.
Right.
You know, the Giants found Blake Martinez off the scrap
heap. How about Mason Foster was signed like a month, like this time, into the year to lead you in tackles a couple times.
So as a coach dealing with the roster that's assembled, this is a smart move. He can't play safety. He can help you in a different way. Do that. I'm criticizing the roster build where they inherited the Landon Collins problem. They didn't inherit the linebacker problem. This was self-made, and they're not... They didn't do a good job building that position, so your best option's a failed safety. That doesn't speak well.
Mike's in Culpeper on Grant and Danny. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing? So I'm team Grant here. I feel the exact same way how Grant feels. The thing I see is that I believe that Rivera kind of has his hands tied because of the contract issue, so he has no choice but to play him. But the thing is, what he mentioned in his quote in his conference, that – He was trying some things out with Landon Collins last week. I think that was like a tryout to make sure that this move was going to work and not blow up in his face when he went ahead and started Collins as a linebacker. So I believe that once this move is done, it'll create more chemistry with Everett and Curl, because I believe they had something going on last year when Collins was absent. So that's how I feel about it.
I want to see Reeves Everett or both. Give me some. They're not young anymore necessarily, but comparatively, some of that youth and that exuberance and some thump. Let's go to Vaughn in Alexandria. Hey, Vaughn, what's good?
Brian, Danny, what's going on?
What's up, bud?
This is how I'll answer you, Danny. I'm with Dan, the Grant, of course. We seen this early in the year, right? If to say using their base defense, I can agree with you. But Ron told you early in the season that we're not using our base defense. We're putting more DBs on the field.
Yep.
So you know that in this, you heard the inkling in the offseason that he might be moving the linebacker. I don't think this is a failed plan. This was the plan all along. And I will also ask you, would you rather have some combination of Hudson, Davis, with Bostic out, with Landon Connor moving down to that DB linebacker position, or with Bostic in there using the same defense that we had? Which one would you rather have?
So it's a fair question. My analogy would be, it's like saying, would I rather be stabbed in my left thigh or my right thigh? None of those options are good. They drafted a middle linebacker in the first round, which was a mistake, because it's not a premium position.
Well,
you go find that position cheaply. They need quality depth, and they don't have it. They find themselves, even with a first-round draft pick at middle linebacker, having completely inadequate depth. So if this was the plan all along, to wait five games and then move Landon Collins into the box as another linebacker, again, it's a puzzling plan, number one. Number two, why'd you wait that long? Number three, if you had quality linebacker depth, you wouldn't have to do this. But they don't, so this is a good solution given the problems that their roster construction created, in my opinion.
You do draft rules way more than I do draft rules. I don't really do draft rules. That is to say, Danny wouldn't draft running backs in the first round, or it sounds like linebackers in the first round either now. I don't do that. Is a player great? Draft that guy. Patrick Queen at 19 overall, I feel real good about that. Like, that dude is going to make 130 tackles this year and have five sacks and have a bunch of TFLs and turnovers for the Ravens. And he made 100 tackles with three sacks and 10 QB hits last year. They drafted the wrong linebacker, it looks like. But I don't do that you should never draft a linebacker thing, but that's beyond the point. I mean, now with Landon Collins coming down where he's played the last couple weeks, I guess my question in terms of usage is going to be, like, there's a lot of talk about how much linebacker he's played. He's still been at safety a lot, too.
The long touchdown happened.
Yeah, the play against the Saints, he was back there at safety. Now, he was kind of trying to sprint back, but is that still a thing, or is he just going to be exclusively 100% not asked to be a safety anymore? That's something I would want to know. You guys can weigh in on Collins, 800-636-1067. Next, we'll also pivot to Taylor Heinicke for our QB approval rating every single week. We post a poll to see if you guys approve of the job he's doing in office. Last week, coming off of the Saints game, the lowest yet in his approval rating, didn't get a whole lot better against a bad defense in Kansas City, but I'd like to think the approval rating will go up some. We'll see. And we'll do that next right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.